from the White Tar in the City of San Antonio versus the Honorable Fourth Court of Appeals.
And in court, Mr. John Carney, Department of Probation.
May it please the court, this is a mandamus case involving the Open Meetings Act concerning the posting of notices of meetings. I might point out to Mr. Chief Justice before I begin that the brief of Vamoree Inc., one of the respondents, was filed out of time. It was filed, I got it yesterday about noon rather than last Friday, which is the deadline under Rule 121. If the court is going to consider that brief, nevertheless, I would like to have the opportunity to file a post-submission comment concerning that brief.
You may have such an opportunity.
Thank you.
We generally consider any briefs that are not on jurisdictional, under jurisdictional time limits.
I understand. I think the reason the Fourth Court of Appeals decision in this case caused such consternation among cities and other governmental entities around the state, and you could almost hear the audible when it came out, was that applying exact and literal compliance to Section 3A.C. of the Open Meetings Act poses some very practical problems. Suppose, for example, a city had been placing its notices on a table in the city hall instead of tacking them up on a bulletin board. That's not exact and literal compliance. Are the city's notices voidable?
What are we to do with the language in Acker we just handed down a couple weeks ago?
I don't have any problem with the language in Acker, Mr. Justice. I think that Acker, like Smith County versus Thornton, does say that this court is going to apply the literal compliance standard, and I think where it is applicable, it should be applied, and I think I can show this court that the city of San Antonio did comply literally. There are some other cities that perhaps have not been complying literally. I don't think the legislature intended to put them out of business when they wrote the act, and I think I can show this court, because of the history of subsection H and the way it developed, that does not preclude practical results. Suppose the city's been taping its notices to the inside of a glass entry door. Is that a bulletin board? Is that exact compliance? Suppose the city had a bulletin board affixed to the exterior wall of the city hall, right next to the entrance door. Well, that's a bulletin board, but it's not in the city hall. Is that exact and literal compliance? Are those cities in trouble? And what about those multi-county districts that are mentioned in subsection 3AF that have to send copies of their notices to other county clerks around the state and to the Secretary of State to be posted? If one of those county clerks doesn't post in exact and literal compliance, is that district's notice voidable? If the Secretary of State posts a notice, its notice is in the corridor of the Capitol instead of in the main office, as the statute says, and if the Capitol is locked up from 11 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning and only legislators are admitted during those hours, does that make those districts' notices voidable? That's the kind of thing that caused some concerns, and I think also it caused concern because here was the city of San Antonio, which had taken pains for 5 years since the Court of Appeals opinion in Smith County versus Thornton to post two notices trying to comply with the act as they understood it, taking pains to do this, and here was the city of San Antonio's notices being held voidable, and its ordinances in this case held void, despite its good faith attempts to take a lot of trouble to comply. This court's opinion in Johnson versus Fourth Court of Appeals says that when we're in this situation, the trial court having been mandamused by the Court of Appeals, and now we seeking to mandamus the Court of Appeals, that this court's focus is on what the trial court did. In Johnson, this court said the question is whether under the circumstances of the case, the facts and the law permitted that trial judge to make only one decision. Now, I think each member of the court will have before you two visual aids. One is a photograph. This photograph is in evidence as an exhibit to the deposition of the assistant city attorney, and also a copy of Section 3A of the Open Meetings Act, notice section, with pertinent portions highlighted. And this is the infamous kiosk where the city of San Antonio is accused of trying to hide the ball by posting notices out there and preventing people from knowing what it was doing for 5 years. This was the city's attempt, the city's reading of the act was that it should comply with Section 3A, Subsection C, by posting a notice on the bulletin board inside the city hall, which it did, no dispute about that, and comply with Section 3A, Subdivision H, by posting another notice right here at the base, at the foot of the front steps in this outside kiosk. This is, as defined in Section H, a place readily accessible to the general public at all times for 72 hours before the meeting.
Can the public open the glass doors in front of the notices?
No, they cannot. But when a multi-page notice is posted, each page is posted separately and spread so that each page can be read.
And there's never anything posted on top of it?
No. That's the testimony is that they follow the same procedure all the time.
When the kiosk fills up before the period, what do they do? Is there a supplemental kiosk somewhere?
Justice Hightower, there is no evidence in the record that this has ever filled up and necessitated some overflow.
San Antonio is the 10th largest city in the United States.
Yes, it is, Ron.
So it's like an awfully small.
Well, the all I can tell you is that the record shows that this is what is used and that it has always been adequate to hold the notices.
And nothing is ever put on top of another prior notice?
The testimony does not show that anything like that has ever happened.
All four sides are usable?
All four sides are usable.
How many different bodies of city government might have regular or semi-regular meetings that require posting under this act?
There are probably a number of bodies that have regular or semi-regular meetings. Now, whether they all are required to post their notices at the city hall, I'm not sure. Some of those may have the authority to post their notices someplace else, in a district office, for example. This holds principally the notices of the meetings of the City Council of San Antonio.
Well, the statute requires that the notice be placed in the city hall. So your argument depends upon a reading of the statute which construes in as not meaning in and around or nearby or close to or something else.
Not really. Justice Heck, the city contends that it complies with subsection 3AC by posting a notice on a bulletin board in the city hall, and complies with Section 3AH by posting a second copy of the notice in this kiosk, the one that's readily accessible. The history of Section 3AH is important to understanding the city's contention. Subsection 3AC of the Act has been unchanged since it was adopted. It's always said the city shall post a notice on a bulletin board in the city hall, a place convenient to the public. Section 3AH, however, has evolved. It was first enacted in 1969 as Section 3AF, and it said notice of a meeting must be posted for at least the 3 days preceding the day of the meeting. Didn't say where, so when originally enacted, 3AF pretty clearly referred back to the notice it meant that's referred to in 3AC. It was amended in 1973, and the words 3 days were changed to 72 hours. So it said notice of a meeting must be posted for 72 hours before the day of the meeting. Still, no mention of place, so obviously it still referred then to the notice that's mentioned in subsection 3AC. But then, in 1975, the legislature changed 3AH to its current wording. Now, if they had still intended for subsection H to refer only to the notice that's mentioned in subsection 3AC, then by logical natural evolution, they should have said something like, the notice required by subsection C must be readily accessible to the general public at all times for at least 72 hours before the meeting. But they didn't say that. Instead, they injected into subsection H for the first time in 1975 the concept of a place of posting. Heretofore, the only mention of a place of posting had been in subsection C. So this new amendment in 75 now calls for notice to be posted at a place readily accessible to the public at all times for 72 hours before the meeting. Now that's not the same language that's in subsection C about place. Subsection C is very specific about in the city hall. Subsection H, after this new amendment injects the concept of place into it, says you got to post one at a place readily accessible to the general public at all times.
Well, can you deal with the assessment of your position as reflected in footnote 3 of the Court of Appeals opinion, that your interpretation would allow the posting for an hour at the city hall and 72 hours in some other public place like a bridge, city annex, the water board, whatever?
I don't think my interpretation would allow that, Justice Doggett. I told the Court of Appeals I thought that it was only logical to infer the same kind of time limit for the notice under subsection C that the legislature had historically called for in subsection H when it exclusively referred to subsection C, and now when it seems to allow a little more flexibility. And there is no evidence that the city of San Antonio has ever done anything of that nature, like putting one on a bridge someplace. The record here shows that the city has consistently...
Right, and we're, of course, going to be interpreting this law for more than just the city of San Antonio. And my concern is not so much where the city placed this kiosk, but how we define the rule if we're going to bend the term in to expand it to beyond the confines of the city hall. What are the limits of how far it's bent?
I think it would have to be at the city hall. And I think that's implicit in what the legislature was doing here. I think the legislature, by injecting this concept of place in subsection H, was giving the cities some alternative place of posting that would be readily accessible, because surely they understood that city halls are ordinarily closed in the evenings and on weekends, historically so.
Is your city hall closed?
Yes, the city hall of San Antonio is closed in the evening, and that's the reason the city adopted this practice of posting the second notice outside after the Court of Appeals made its decision in Smith County versus Thornton. So I think that the concept would be that the legislature was saying, look, we know you close your city halls, we know you close your school district buildings, we know the Capitol gets locked up, but you can post another one at that location. And that's the way the city of San Antonio has interpreted it, to place it at the city hall. And I think that's a reasonable construction.
But that requirement is not found in the language.
It's not found in the implicit language. What we're trying to do is, we were trying to interpret a statute which is not entirely clear, particularly after that 1975 amendment injected this more flexible concept of a place of posting that previously had been contained only in C.
A literal reading of this statute would allow the parade of horribles that Justice Doggett mentioned.
Well, perhaps, but I think you have to assume that governmental entities are going to act in bad faith to do that. And the statute does contain pretty readily available injunction and mandamus.
I mean, neither side in this case is asking for a literal reading, I don't suppose.
Well, we believe the city has complied literally, because we interpret it to mean that we can comply with those two sections in those two different ways. There are some practical problems, and some of the amicus briefs that were filed raise some of those very practical problems, and they're suggesting something other than a literal compliance standard. We're not advocating backing off one millimeter from Smith County versus Thornton. I think that's good law. I think it goes to the heart of notice, and we would not ask this court to back off that at all. There is there will be a contention by one of the parties that the subject matter of the notice was inadequate. They raised that in the Court of Appeals. I think the Court of Appeals disposed of that pretty well. The subject matter of this notice was much more specifically described than the notice that was struck down by this court in Cox Enterprises. And the, I'm sorry, the Supreme Court says you don't have any constitutional right anyway in Joyner versus City of Dallas. My time is up.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court. The history of the Open Meetings Act since 1967 shows in those 23 years in which this law has been on the books a very clear effort by this court, other courts, and by the legislature to tighten up the requirements of what this law really means and is it going to mean what it says. And the courts, this particular court, as a result of Acker, Smith County versus Thornton, the Fort Worth Court of Civil Appeals, have all said in very clear language to cities, and particularly San Antonio, gentlemen, the law says this and you're going to have to live up to it. It's an amazingly simple law. It would take some mind kind of consciously deciding they don't want to believe what Justice Doggett said, what Justice Ray said, or what any of you gentlemen have said in trying to comply with the law. You have a city that stands here boldly and says, we want to post outside the building. There have been 16 cases on this law.
How about the notice inside the building? Was it done contemporaneously, I'm assuming?
It wasn't for the necessary amount of time under Section 3AH.
Well, what says that the notices in CNH are the same notice? Yeah. I mean, if they started off the notice of a meeting, that would show internally, I think, that H refers back to C. But what in here would allow us, what literal reading or any other reading would allow us to say that this can only be one notice?
Okay. I'll answer that. There have been 16 cases, first of all, since 73, and no court has ever permitted a posting outside the building. Just none. You can read them all, and they're there. What has happened is that... Well, here's what you've done, and it's interesting. And Justice Ray's opinion, particularly in Smith County versus Thornton, because you remember the city says that's the case that came out in which we made some good faith effort to try to decide if we could go outside the courthouse. In Smith County, gentlemen, and you all know it, the notice was in the courthouse in Tyler, in the courthouse. But it just was not reasonably accessible because of the requirements of that case, which you recall were not that hard. But in Smith County, you had to come through the sheriff's office in the basement. This court wrote in Smith County on Section 3H. And you wrote in Smith County that that was had to be readily accessible. And you expressly applied 3H only to a situation where the notice was in the courthouse. Now the city comes in and says, oh, we didn't understand Smith County that way. Maybe that let us go to another place outside the courthouse or kiosk or wherever and put it up. Nothing in Smith County leads or teaches one, Your Honor.
I suppose there's no question in this case that the kiosk is readily accessible.
Oh, no, sir. The evidence is that it's unlit. You can only access or see it from one side of the courthouse. The other three sides, the person would have to go all the way around the courthouse to find it. The evidence is also in this case.
Well, if it was in the courthouse, would it have to be visible from every spot inside the courthouse? Would it have to be in the center of the courthouse?
I think as long as you meet the requirements of the Act, which are very simply that it's readily accessible, it does say on the bulletin board, since 1967, Your Honor, the law said put it in there, and it says on the bulletin board.
If this were the state capitol, would you hold that only the rotunda would qualify because it's in direct center underneath as opposed to any of the wings?
I think any place where the records show that that is readily accessible and the public is used to using it in the building would meet the requirements of the law.
Is this the main entrance to the City Hall in San Antonio?
It's probably the largest entrance, but it's not the only entrance.
But is it the main entrance?
I think so.
Who, other than the Texas Association of Night Watchmen, would benefit by a holding that would force every City Hall in the state to be open around the clock?
Well, first of all, you have before you a city that has a city hall, that has a bulletin board, that didn't comply with the law. Now, what this court has said in Acker, and you said it in Smith County, is that the legislature is capable of amending this law, which we do it. We see laws like that all the time. The legislature will make reasonable classifications of cities depending on population and their requirements to let them either not comply or comply with certain laws. That's a regular legislative routine. And Justice Doggett wrote in Acker, where you had a conflict with the Administrative Procedures Act, which permitted people to deliberate secretly, and you had the open meetings law. This court said very clearly, the legislature is capable, after hearings, notices, whatever, to let cities come in who feel like they need some relief from this and get it. But the legislature's not done that, Justice Phillips. So for us to sit here and take all of the city's supposings, I don't think it's warranted in this case. I think this court would be ill-advised to try to divine an opinion for all time and decide loopholes that someone can get out of until the legislature
does. But if we hold as you request, there is no way out of this. All cities will have to keep their courthouses open.
That's
at least
correct.
Some number.
So.
And not just cities. It'll be counties, school districts, water districts, and other local subdivisions.
That's what the legislature has said the law is.
If the city decided to make part of an entryway a bulletin board and have the actual entrance into the building beyond that entryway, would that be within?
I think so. I think so.
If, even though everywhere else was locked up in the city hall, there's no other way of getting into the city hall, but if you are in an entryway that's lit, that would be compliant?
I think so. I think if you had an entryway into the building.
But you couldn't come through the back door, or you couldn't come in on the other side of the building to get to it. You'd still have to come in that particular entryway.
I don't have a problem with that so long as it's in the building, it's part of the building, and it's something that's readily accessible. If we were to divine a solution to it, I wouldn't have a problem with them having a part of the building with double doors on it that are open where a citizen could walk into the building and see the notices any time that would be in compliance with the Act. But once you let a hole in this law, particularly on the record you have, a city can put it anywhere.
Should we just appoint a master as an architect to point out various ways that little small city halls could build it?
Well, I think,
I
think smaller cities may have a problem with it, I think, but you look at some of these. Like, one of the amicus says we don't have a bulletin board, or they profess to claim they don't have a bulletin board. You have one amicus, and this shows you the storm clouds if you start letting people drive through it. One amicus says the kiosk really is in the city hall. That's what the city of San Antonio's amicus said. We now have a mental perception of this physical structure now being put in the city hall because it's on city property. If that's a criteria, it could be anywhere, just Phillips. Or it's part of a metaphysical city complex.
I know that each county is required to have a block that's designated as the courthouse. I think that's a state law. Is there any such law relating to other political subdivisions?
Not that I'm aware of, but you know what cities could do, the smaller cities, I think, who may really have a problem with this. I don't know of any law that prevents a small city that does not have, say, a city hall, passing an ordinance designating a place where the city business would take place, because they have that place anyway. And then the public knows about it, the public knows where to go.
If that's in somebody's home, you just got to come.
Well, I don't know of a county that small. I mean, there may be some place where the city government's meeting in someone's home, but I think if the cities want to comply, they can.
You said if it did it, smaller city, smaller county, it'd have to be well lit in your office,
too. Yes, sir. I think it has to be lit. I mean, it wouldn't seem to make a lot of sense at night to walk up and not be able to see what's there.
Counsel, then you do not think that a bulletin board could be attached to the exterior wall off the city hall and be in the city hall. If it was attached to the exterior wall, it'd have to be attached on the inside of that wall in order to be in. Is that correct?
I would say from mm-hmm. being assured when this court opines on it that that notice will always be there and be preserved. We've all seen kiosks.
You're saying it has to be in the city hall.
Yes, sir. That's
it could not be outside attached to the wall. It has to be on the inside of the wall.
If we're going to honor what the law says, I think that's the only way we can do it. Because once you let the fudge factor creep in, cities are going to be ingenious for whatever reasons to say, well, this is close enough to what you said last time. And you gentlemen are going to be here for decades trying to decide the old substantial compliance date. I thought those were way behind us.
But you really contend that this is an effort to hide from the public what's happening in city government of San Antonio?
I would challenge the court to go see the kiosk and try to read what's on it. And I don't think
the glass fogged up, or what does the testimony show about that?
It would look like one of the original Old Testament pages of the Bible. There's stuff out there that's yellow and folded and broken and cracked. And some clerk one day put it up neatly, maybe 10 years ago. It's now like this.
Are these notices periodically, after they serve their purpose, they're removed and new ones put on?
No evidence of that.
Well, any evidence of the contrary? Did you?
The one I saw, I went by there.
No, I'm talking about testimony or affidavits about what you just stated. It's
no.
just out the record. That's out the record.
No, so there's no testimony supporting that it's regularly maintained in neat order.
Is there any testimony that notices 2-3 years ago are there? Or,
I was just answering the question of the chief
judge.
Well,
that's in the context of the record. Mr. Clark says that, in fact, multiple pages are all clear and they're all there 72
that's
hours.
Not in the record. With all due respect, no, sir. That, the sermonette on the sanctity of this place is not in the record.
We don't know of a provision to have a court view.
We have a subject matter argument about this notice.
Mr. Austin's going to handle it. Just dog it if the court please.
Sure.
Well, he has less than 5 minutes. So.
Yes. Thank you, Judge.
How long did I have, Your Honor? Less than 5 minutes. May it please the court. Gentlemen, I am Craig Austin of San Antonio, representing the surface landowners in this case. I have an important point to make, and I don't have much time to make it, so I'm going to get right into it. The city of San Antonio, in this case, gave notice that they were going to condemn, quote, certain properties out of 4 enumerated city blocks. And you see those county blocks enumerated on this map. Gentlemen, there are 8,580 acres of land in those 4 county blocks. The city ended up taking 930.315. So in round terms, they gave notice for 9 times as much land as they condemned. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me first of all explain that most of the land that actually condemned is shown in black on this map. Now, if you don't know what land is actually going to be condemned, you don't have the superior knowledge that the city has. How is it possible for anybody to know what land is going to be condemned out of that 8,500 acres?
What does the record show about how many owners there are of this 8,500 acres?
It shows that there are 83 separate parcels. There were 8 ownerships that were actually condemned by the city. You can divine that from the exhibits.
So there is no way, gentlemen, that anybody can tell that his land is going to be taken or that any particular land is going to be taken by that notice.
Now, there are easy ways that are available for a city to make a contingent notice, and they're in common practice. First, they can post a project map, very much like this. We're going to take parcels A, B, C, and D. See the project map that's posted along with this notice. And that way the landowner can walk up to it and say, by golly, they're going to take my land. And the public can say the same thing. They know whose land is going to be taken.
There are two other equally easy ways that are also in common use. One is the one-page plat. All you have to do is post that, and the landowner has no question that his land is going to be seized.
Did you say, excuse me, I'll give you an extra minute, but did you say 83 parcels were condemned or 83 parcels are within this 8,500 acres?
There are 83 parcels by actual count within the 8,500 acres. Actually, I believe 15 separate parcels were condemned under 8 ownerships.
Which was for the city to know and the public and the landowners to guess. The other easy way of notification, field notice. Simply attach them to the ordinance. And gentlemen, what we're talking about here is specificity versus generality. In Cox versus Austin Independent School District, this court held that the public and the landowners, the parties affected, are entitled to full disclosure of the subject matter. And that's what we're asking for. We're asking for reasonable specificity in posting to make this intelligible to the people who are affected by it and the public. On the other hand, let's look at how general can be. You can walk over here to the Secretary of State's office and look at a notice customarily posted by the Highway Department that says, request for condemnation, uncontrolled and controlled access highways, various counties. That notice puts every square inch of the state of Texas under notice. It is the ultimate in the general notice, 267,000 square miles.
What is the effect of a court denial of the writ of mandamus?
The effect would be to leave the Court of Appeals opinion approving this kind of notice intact.
So the state would have to start over?
They would have to start over, yes, under either point, either the notice point or the posting point.
Is the evidence silent as to what transpired at this meeting? That is there, I assume the purpose of this meeting is so that decisions can actually be made in the open, not so that the ratification of decisions is viewed. Is there anything that shows that the city council discussed all of this property and what was needed and what was not needed, and then a decision was made?
The record is quite silent as to that. Of course,
but
the city had the ordinance.
There is that possibility that a whole area could be under consideration and the city might decide on
what
to take.
Well, not really, because what they have in mind is a specific ordinance that they've already drawn. You know, it's like putting a deck of cards on the table and saying, we're going to deal some losers next week. Some cards from spades, some cards from clubs and diamonds and so on. And they know quite well who's going to draw the queen of spades.
A law of general applicability. I mean, we're making a decision of general applicability.
That's right, and I hope this court will make it in favor of specificity rather than generality.
Were the people you represent at the
No.
Were they
no.
notified?
No.
Specifically, they were in the area that the city intended.
No, sir. They were not, and there's no evidence that they weren't. Let me emphasize, gentlemen, that this
make
is...
Make this your final sentence.
Let me emphasize that this is the only notice a condemnee ever gets, that his land is going to be determined to be taken by the city council. That's it.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear rebuttal argument.
If it pleases the court, Mr. Austin has said in his brief, what the city is supposed to do is tell me, you must tell me you are going to take my land, exclamation point. Joyner versus City of Dallas, which is found at 419 U.S. 1042. This is not in my brief because we didn't get notice of, didn't hear about this argument until just a few days ago.
Well, it was made in the Court of Appeals.
Beg pardon?
You mean the sufficiency of the notice?
I'm talking about the decision of the that's found at 419 U.S. 1042, and Joyner versus City of Dallas says there is no kind of requirement that the condemnors give actual notice to property owners that their property might become the subject of condemnation proceedings. That's a memorandum opinion of the Supreme Court affirming a three-judge court's opinion out of the Northern District of Texas that contains an exhaustive discussion of the Texas condemnation procedures.
That's a due process.
That's a due process.
But that doesn't mean that the legislature may not require for other purposes, other public policy purposes, a specific notice.
That's correct.
And you indicated in your prior argument that the Court of Appeals pretty much dispensed with their argument on subject matter.
And I agree they dispensed with it, but they didn't really say very much about it in their dispensing. What is the reason that your notice was sufficient from a subject standpoint?
Because the subject notices that have been condemned are those that typically use one-word descriptions to tell the public we're going to consider legal matters, personnel, and purchases.
So if this said condemnation, that'd be too little.
Yes, I think
and
it should not.
And if it said condemnation in Bear County somewhere, that'd be too little.
I think that's probably too little.
Condemnation in northern Bear County.
That's getting closer. But what the notice here said, that the city is going to consider an ordinance to condemn property in four numbered county blocks in southwest Bear County for the Applewhite Water Project. The record is silent as to whether Mr. Austin's client knew or didn't know about the meeting of the city council. They offered no testimony on that.
But why should not the notice be more specific if this is the only notice the county gets?
Well, this may be
you
the
have
only...
a notice of 8,000 acres or 9,000 acres, you only take one-ninth of it. Shouldn't we do better than that?
The field notes for the properties that are going to be taken are attached to the ordinance itself and can be examined. And that's before this court. The ordinance and the field notes and all are Exhibit 5.
Were the field notes and the proposed ordinance posted?
The ordinance, no, the notice...
So the landowner had no chance to see that if he had gone down to the city hall and seen all this?
He would have been able to see the ordinance had he gone to the city hall, yes.
After it was done?
At the time it was debated. At least at that time.
Was it posted along with this map?
The ordinance was not posted along with the map, no. The ordinance shows the owner, the parcel number, and the legal description of the properties to be taken. But the notice tells the public, and that's the thrust of the act. No decision that I have been able to find has ever said that a condemnor must tell individual landowners that they are about to have their property considered for condemnation. The thrust of the Open Meetings Act is to tell the public what the city is doing, what its business is. Now, if the city were going to condemn the Alamo, maybe the notice to the general public that they were going to consider taking certain property in downtown San Antonio wouldn't be enough, because the public would be very interested in that.
Well, how is the city to determine when a piece of property is of general interest to the public? That seems to me to be an impossible standard.
Perhaps it would be.
You know, some of us wouldn't have thought the U.S. government should spend $500,000 to renovate Lawrence Wells' house, but obviously Congress felt that was an important project. I mean, the subjectivity that you're suggesting there seems to me to lead to all kinds of legal problems.
Well, I think the city was attempting to comply with the court decisions concerning notice that say you must do more than just simply give us one-word descriptions, generic sort of descriptions. You must give us at least in general what you're going to do.
For a city the size of San Antonio, about how many condemnations a week are discussed on that? Or how many condemnation decisions are made?
Your Honor, I don't think I could estimate that. I really don't
you
know.
You don't know if it's one a week or one a month or...
I really am not advised. I really don't know about that.
With reference, again, to the kiosks, is it correct to say that unless we deliberately interpret the term in to mean at, that you lose?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I believe the act, as it has been amended, as it has evolved, as Section H has evolved, prescribes that flexibility to post at some other location other than the bulletin board inside the city hall. I think it's really only a question really here of whether the city complied with that more flexible standard by putting this kiosk at the foot of the what has been described in testimony as the main entrance to the city hall.
Well, doesn't that require us to interpret the word in to mean at?
And I think it would at least be reasonable to do so. It would at least be reasonable to think that the legislature, by its amendment to Section H, was in effect permitting that sort of concept. We are giving you the flexibility to post a second notice at some place that is different from the place specified in Section C, because the language is not the same. It is more flexible. And at the City Hall would certainly be a reasonable interpretation of that.
If this had to be one notice, wouldn't it be far more reasonable to say the bulletin board must be readily acceptable? I mean, a far briefer and more clear way of writing this would be for H to say the bulletin board mentioned in subsection C must be readily accessible to the general public.
Yes, if that's what the legislature intended, they could certainly have said that. The bulletin board mentioned in subsection C must be readily accessible. They didn't say that.
Have you searched the legislative history and debates when this bill was considered to glean any congressional intent?
I have not found any legislative history that sheds any light on precisely what they thought they were doing by adding this concept of place in subsection H.
If you want a supplemental brief, 10 days?
That would be fine, Your Honor. I would like also to respond, if I may. I would like also to respond, if I may, to some of the comments made by Mr. Wheatley, because...
Well, I believe your time's up, but you have an opportunity to say it in writing.
Thank you. Two other questions when you get off. First of all, the particulars of this case aside, is there a policy reason not to have a more specific notice by the city? And is there any reason why the city doesn't want to or shouldn't have to be more specific in its notice?
I think if cities were required, for example, to post field notes, to give field note descriptions in their notices that they were going to hold a meeting to discuss an ordinance, the field notes in this case alone are many, many pages.
How about a map?
Perhaps a map would be feasible. If it's going to be big enough to be really looked at, there may have to be some additional bulletin board provided for maps.
But the only concern is feasibility.
That's a practical concern. I don't think the decisions of the courts of this state have ever tended to require legally any sort of more specific description, certainly than the city of San Antonio.
And is there anything in the record of this case to indicate that there's some specific reason, conscious, intentional reason, to make this notice as brief as it was?
No, in fact, this notice is probably much more descriptive than notices that are posted by many cities for condemnation.
Does the record show whether or not the parties Mr. Austin represented were at the hearing?
The record is silent as to whether they attended the hearing. They offered no testimony, no evidence that they did or didn't know about it.
Any questions?
Further?
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Court will take another brief recess.